Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. We are in the air everywhere, as we are all over the globe. The magic, the power of podcasting, the global reach. We thank you for downloading this, our Saturday podcast, 8 days a week, 8 days a week, 4 hours, obviously not enough on the overnight. And you can hear this podcast where you found it, but anywhere in the iHeart Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts. And we learned from our friend Andy Furman yesterday, the most important connection is the personal connection. So if you can tell a friend in your circle that you like the podcast, hey, give it a listen. Man, would that be cool. That would really help us out a lot. We are joined from west of the 405, sashaying his way in, doing the foxtrot, David Gascon, better known by his nickname Gagon.
Gascon, yes, that's exactly right. I didn't catch what you were saying initially because I was busy looking at booty models on Instagram. But
it's wonderful.
Andy was great, man. Andy is awesome.
I love those old stories. I could have listened to Andy talk all night. That story about Belichick asking him for a tape for an upcoming opponent. When you compare and contrast the difference between what's going on these days and the video departments of all these teams and some of the promotions that Andy did back in the day. Oh, God, what a great – he's got to write a book. I don't know if he did write – maybe he's written a book, but he should write one about all those stories.
It's just wild because you've done this with other guests that you've brought on too, but it's wild to hear the stories of then, and immediately when we're done and we talk about it, we just say that shit would never work today.
Oh, no. You know, everyone's looking for something to be offended by these days. Yeah. We live in, I'm the offended mob. The always offended mob is out there. Everyone's offended by everything.
Yeah.
And, of course, it used to be that we would say, like, just because you think you're offended and you say you're offended, that does not qualify something as offensive. These days, just the act of saying something is offensive means it's offensive.
I learned a few days ago that sexual preference is offensive.
Yes. Well, I also learned that if a certain political party's representation says something, within hours, a certain dictionary will change the definition.
Yeah.
It's an amazing power. I had no idea. I thought politicians are just politicians. I didn't know they had the power to change the definition of words within hours. I had no idea.
Well, we are learning that certain politicians and certain groups have the power to manipulate and change and even suppress certain content due to social media influences and whatnot. So this is a great time to be alive.
But that is, let me tell you something. That situation that happened the other day with Facebook and Twitter, that is going to be their demise, okay? Because at some point, there's going to be a come-to-Jesus moment where the political oligarchy in America get together and say, well, wait a minute. I mean, these it's a weird thing because those are technically private companies, Twitter and Facebook, but it has become the public square. And so, you know, television and radio stations are technically owned by private people, but they're licensed by the government. Mm-hmm. So there's rules and regulations, obviously. It's the way it works, right? You can own, like iHeartMedia owns a ton of radio stations, right?
Yeah.
But those radio stations are governed by the rules of the Federal Communications Commission. Now, I don't like the red tape, and I don't like the rules, and I would hate to see more bureaucracy, but you can't be bullying and taking stories away because they don't fit your agenda when they're legitimate stories.
Yeah.
Cannot do it.
A little odd that you'd have a company like Twitter or Facebook try to suppress journalists and say, "What? Hold on, we have the journalistic integrity."
No,
here.
The fact checkers. I get the biggest kick out of it. So our fact checkers. Who the fuck are your fact checkers? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's the high moral authority from these 22, 23-year-olds that just got out of college that are your fact checkers.
You got a bunch of hypersensitive, faux outraged halfwits that are deciding. Oh no, I'm your fact checker. Oh my God. It's amazing. Maddening. It's maddening is what it is.
It is good. And it was great because, the Q&A with Senator Hirono from Hawaii and Amy Coney Barrett talking about sexual orientation or sexual preference. And then immediately Webster's Dictionary just flips that thing and makes it into offensive. It was just it was fascinating to see in real time. Because if that was on some kind of music or not music, a magazine stand, you would think that is just like gossip coming from a tabloid, but nope, this is the real world. This is 2020.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And some people downplay it, say it's not that big a deal, but it's a lot different than it was. And I'm not thinking it's better. I don't think it's better.
Yeah, we could go from payphones and rotary phones to cell phones, but holy fuck. Like we are changing as we speak the way that we are and are not allowed to communicate with each other.
Yeah, I hate to go down this road, but you brought it up, so we'll go down this road. Like when I was a kid, the nursery rhymes. Everyone's learned when you were a little kid, you do the nursery rhymes and all that stuff. But remember the one, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Right.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
What happened to that one? Right. Now it's, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. It's apparently just a dream. It's all a dream. But I like the hey, sticks and stones thing. I think that's, that's a good thing. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. My God, how hard is that?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think that I heard that thing loud and proud when I was a child, and it's on display every time I work with you.
Now it's all huff and puff and blow your house down.
Oh, man.
You can really translate anything in life to a nursery rhyme.
You can. You certainly can.
There's a lot of rock goodbye, baby.
Which is great because you know that they have these places now set up at universities.
Oh yeah, I've heard those stories where they have the safe spaces and all that stuff. Yeah, Adam Carolla made a movie about that. Was it last year? A documentary about just that whole mindset and all that.
The rogue agent here that's a citizen of the United States and resides in California.
Is he moving to Nashville too? I think everyone's moving to Nashville.
Maybe
I think everyone's
Nashville or Texas or Arizona. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Somewhere, someplace. So on this podcast, we have one man's trash. There's another man's treasure. We've got Alvin and the Chipmunks and Pop Quiz. All right. That's what we got. And we already started with some political theater, which is good. I love the Honorable Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who we did a monologue on it the other day, and a bunch of the Astro fans got all upset. But it was wonderful. And Ben Sasse, who called at a judicial hearing for a U.S. Supreme Court nominee, he said the Astros are miserable cheaters. My God, was that great.
And the best part about it was he didn't use it like he was just trying to slide in a quick liner. He actually laid it out. I saw the clip that you sent.
Yeah,
it was 5 minutes, but he laid it out perfectly. And he went into how they should have been penalized a lot more severe than they were. It was just great. And then he took shots, obviously, across the room in the judicial process.
Yeah, I know it was good. And it was, the people with no sense of humor that would stick up their ass. I can't believe he did that. Oh, my God. Screw it. I don't care. I know he's a Republican, but if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you should smile. We should have bipartisan support, as I said, I think, in the monologue the other day. It was hilarious.
Which is atrocious because as soon as the Astros advance to the ALCS, I immediately see Twitter handles based in Houston from radio stations tagging you on tweets, and I'm just like, come on, man. Like,
oh yeah, well, the local, I get a kick out of it, the local hack, a local radio fanboy hack, I call them, and I find it very amusing. I'm honored that I have the bullseye pointed at me by the local radio hack. That tells me I'm doing a good job. It does. It tells me, hey, that you're doing good. This is a good thing. Don't stop what you're doing at all. Never change. Never change. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to defend the hometown team no matter how embarrassing they are. My God, come on.
But you've had it with teams. You've had it with radio stations. You've had it with scribes. And now you're having it with social media accounts, too. It's absolutely amazing.
I've had people threaten to sue me. do you know that story? Actually, I don't know if I've told the story before, but the late Chet Kopic, who was a Chicago radio person, I'm actually a friend of Mike North. I didn't bring this up to Mike, but I wrote something on my website about Chet Kopic, and he emailed me and threatened to sue me because he said it was true what I wrote, and he threatened to sue me. He was all upset. He starts attacking me, my broadcasting. He was like very, very upset.
That's great. What was
it? We said that story because he's dead now, but we're allowed to say it. But yeah.
Do you remember like the meat and potatoes of it all?
You know, he was doing a radio, like a syndicated type radio thing, and I think I had been tipped off to something that he was doing he was going to get in trouble for something, and I wrote about it, and he said it was bullshit, and he got all upset. And
was he recording his show and then playing it as it was live?
I don't remember these specifics. I had to go back. The archives of BenMaller.com, which are on the Wayback Machine, I could probably find the story.
Is it still active, BenMaller.com?
No, that website's gone. But if you go to the Wayback Machine, it archives some of the posts that I made there. Yeah, Chet died, I think, in a car accident last year? I think, yeah, unfortunately. But he was a legend in Chicago media. He was like the godfather of Chicago sports radio. But he didn't like me. He didn't like me. But, no one's perfect, right? No one's perfect. So anyway, let's go. What do we have here? We have one man's trash. There's another man's treasure. So this is another personal story, guest gun. I must be relatable. So I enjoy suburban hiking. I got my headphones in. In fact, I talk to you sometimes. I make a few phone calls. Usually I listen to some tunes or whatever, or maybe a game if it's... It's an afternoon game when I'm walking around in baseball. So when I'm walking, I'm always rotating my eyes. I'm observing my surroundings. And this week, that paid dividends. Opportunity struck. So I'm walking down a pretty busy highway that is near the Maller Mansion. And I'm walking there. And I'm counting I call them idiots, who while driving wear their masks in the car with the window up, you know, that they're worried that by being in the car with the window up, they might get the corona. So I always count them, and I'm looking to make sure no one's going to hit me or try to. And then I stumbled on a pile of garbage. So on the right, I'm going like north. On the right of me is the highway. On the left of me is like this kind of disheveled part of town where it's like an empty field, right? So whatever, I'm walking and surrounded by businesses, but this just happens to be empty. And as I'm walking, I get near this empty field, and I see this big pile of discarded clothes, and there's a shopping cart. There were some street signs, some traffic cones. I mean, it's all random, like a hodgepodge of crap that was just there. And there was some random paper trash. And then I had a diamond in the rough that I witnessed, Gascon. In the middle of that trash, in the middle of that just random discarded clothes and stuff that people just tossed off the street, was a laundromat grade rolling cart in great condition, right in the middle. And it called out to me. It said, "Ben, take me to the Maller Mansion. I need to go to the Maller Mansion." And I'm like, whoa, right? So I immediately at that moment, I couldn't take it at that time because I was in the middle of my walk. So I decided I needed to salvage this orphan laundromat grade rolling cart, which some people would say is a piece of junk, and I had to take it to the mansion. So I made a deal with myself, Gascon. I said, when I am done with this walk, and I was far away from my house at that time. I said, when I make it back to the house, I'm going to be back here. I'm going to save I'm the savior. I'm going to save that laundromat grade rolling cart, clothing cart. So I walked back. I went back to the house, and then I had to go to the store anyway. I had to pick up some things for the wife, a couple of vegetables and some crap like that. So on the way to the store, I made a pit stop. I turned on my emergency blinkers. I stopped on the side of that busy highway. I got out. I opened the rear of the car. And my wife had left some crap in there, so I had to move stuff around because this laundromat grade rolling cart was so massive that it would not fit in the back of the car because there was other stuff. So I had to move things around, and it took a lot longer than I wanted. Emergency blinkers are flashing, the whole thing, and I was able to pick this thing up. I put it in, and right now, you can't see this because we're on a podcast, but right behind me in the hallway outside, I call it Studio B, which is the Maller studio at the Maller Mansion. Right outside is that laundromat grade rolling clothing cart, which I have saved and will be used. I actually wanted to buy one of these things, Gascon. I told my wife, I said, the laundry's a pain in the ass. Nobody likes doing laundry. So I was like, why don't we get one of those carts? It'll make it a lot easier. And we never did, but it just fell into my lap. It's great. I'm happy with it. I'm so excited. Who knew that I would be excited? I never thought when I was a little kid that I would be excited as a middle-aged man to get a laundry cart for free. And this thing's like a $400 laundry cart.
Yeah.
It's not just like a piece of crap that you bought at the discount store. This is I'm telling you, it's top-notch here.
In any other year, I'd be appalled by this story, but it's 2020, and we got to look at some of the smaller things in life.
Well, I'm not west of the 405, Gascon. So if I was west of the 405, I'd just go buy a laundry cart. But I'm a struggling overnight radio guy that took a pay cut this year because of the COVID.
Let me tell you, there's nothing struggling about Ben Maller and the Maller Mansion.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. You haven't been out here in a long time. We serve cold chicken, according to you, because we can't afford warm chicken.
Cold chicken and burnt steak or frozen steak, yes.
That steak is sitting comfortably. What's going to come first, me eating the steak or Ted Williams' head coming back to life?
I think it's more likely that you'll pop into the studio before that steak is actually...
Well, I am going to come to the studio this week. I have to pick up some mail.
Yeah.
So people have alerted me that we have mail.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I need to pick up the mail. When I say we, it's mostly me. Hey, I'm worried, Gascon. Am I going to end up on...
Did you run it by your wife that you can bring that cart back to the house? Or did you just show up with it? And she was like,
no, I told her, I said, I got something. I found something, And no, she's cool with it. She doesn't mind. I think she thinks it's funny. But no, I'm always, listen, if you can repurpose, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Hey, it's just like a modern day storage war, right? The show,
yes.
Synonymous, like 30-minute segments of storage wars where people go in these storage centers and they bid on shit in a storage and you find that one, like you said, diamond in the rough.
No, it's. I didn't go out looking for it. I don't go out looking for this shit. But if I find it, I'm like, hey, I'm not kidding. I did want to get a professional laundromat cart. I wanted that, and this thing's in really good condition. It's like, I was like, when I went up to it, I was like skeptical. I'm like, all right, this thing must be. There's something wrong with it. It doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it, but there's something must be wrong with it. What is it? And I rolled it. There was some trash in it. I took the trash out and I rolled it around and it was fine. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take that.
Since you and your wife talk about Christmas gifts up front before you purchase them, you should request a GoPro for you. Certain stories that you talk about nowadays are just marvelous.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you appreciate my pathetic life here.
The bathroom debacle at the park.
I should have taken a picture of the damage, the carnage.
Yes, the cart.
I was even shocked that my ass could have produced that much shit all over the toilet. I am still amazed by that, that one human being could have that much. That is the whole side of the bathroom walls were covered. It looked like I had painted the walls brown. It was unbelievable.
Yes. The bathroom mistake here at Fox.
Well, that was unfortunate when I had to do the show commando. And my favorite part of that is that none of the people I work with even noticed anything different, that I was able to pull it off, even though I had just shat myself 5 minutes before the show or 10 minutes before the show.
Waddling into the studio.
Yes.
Good, man. A GoPro with you on the weekends would be fantastic.
Be pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, what else? I have Alvin and the Chipmunks. All right, this is good. This is another classic story. I try to save these things because Eddie doesn't appreciate them, you know. I don't think Eddie appreciates these stories. You on the podcast appreciate this story. So my wife's, I've said before, she's like a bit of a hippie.
Hippie, right? Yeah.
Bit of a hippie. And she's also like Mary Poppins. She's always got lots of bags of crap that she carries with her. I call her like Mary Poppins because she's always got like whatever you need, she'll have in one of her bags. You know,
like she has like a bag of potions, right?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, she's to use a word that Andy Furman would appreciate from yesterday. She's into a lot of Michigas. All right, a lot of Michigas. And now her latest thing is she's decided that she's into horticulture. And her idea to fix the planet is a, you know what it is, Gascon? You want to take a guess?
No, I don't even want to guess.
It is to put a compost bin in the front yard, right? Compost bin. So from now on, she just started this a week ago, all of the vegetable and the organic food waste are going to be tossed into this kind of like basket thing and turned into soil for the garden, right? So she's now found her green thumb. Now, I wanted to tell you, when she made the announcement to me that this is what she was going to do, I, of course, as a pessimist, informed her that this was a bad idea, right? I said, listen, it is going to attract all kinds of critters and varmints, right? What are you doing? And there can be rats there and rodents and all this, you know. And do we need to encourage them that, you know, it's the saloon is open for business here, you know, or the restaurant, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet of food for the rats and the little critters? She assured me it would be fine. So we're like a week into this, okay. And the kid informs me, hey, check the compost bin, right? So I'm like, all right, I'll go out there and check the compost bin. And I'm like, what's the hullabaloo about? I go and look. I peek in over the, you know, it's a pretty big kind of baskety thing that you put the stuff in. So I peek over the compost bin, and I witness the rotting carcass of a cute little squirrel or chipmunk that was had been feasting on rotting food and apparently either ate so much of it, gorged so much of it, or just ate the wrong thing and died, met its demise in the compost bin. So I don't know if the squirrel killed itself or if it ate something, and you know, either way, it's dead. So that proves I am correct. I told my wife, I said, listen, that is a death trap right there. You're killing a cute little squirrel. And the way it died too, I guess, Gun, is it had its arms up, like those little cute squirrels.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Which it was like in mid-bite, probably, and that was it.
Now, did you do the righteous thing and pull it out and then skin it?
You make some, like, roadkill squirrel stew or something like that. Yeah. You know, I heard the only difference between a chipmunk and a squirrel is the stripe on the back. That's what I was told. That's pretty much the only difference. That the chipmunk has a stripe on the back, the squirrel does not.
Wait, hold on. Why did you go out first and not your wife, since it was her idea?
She was sleeping. Yeah, she was sleeping. So I haven't... It's actually technically still in the compost bin. I have to get the shovel out, and I have to give it a proper burial, which my wife said is just throw it in the bushes.
Oh, boy. Throw it in the bushes?
Yes, because we have some tree. You know, the front of the house, there's some trees. Just throw it in there. Just throw it in that. You're good to go. So,
it's going to decompose in front of your house. That's just great.
I know. It's a wonderful thing.
And I haven't been kept up to speed on the varmint upstairs. What's up with that?
You know, I haven't heard it. And I told the wife, I think maybe it might have been a squirrel. And maybe that was the squirrel. Maybe you actually killed the squirrel that was running around. Like, the squirrel's like, I got the run of the Mallard Mansion. I'm going to live in the attic, and then I can eat. These idiots are going to give me food, and I can eat whatever I want, you know, that whole thing. And then surprise, 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 obviously, Metastabas. Yeah, but I haven't heard it the last couple of days, and I got to get up there. I got to get somebody up there to investigate, shall we say?
Right? Yeah, you got to be careful with what you're saying right now too, because you might inspire Weedman Hippie to live upstairs in your attic and then go into the compost and then feast on the other shit that you have in there.
Well, some have said it might be Weedman. It might actually be Weedman who's up there, and who's to say it's not? I have no idea. It might be Weedman.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. So, anyway, those are my two stories of the week, Giskin. I got nothing else. Those are the only two things that happened that are interesting this week.
You had another really good story, obviously.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, I can't tell that story.
Yeah.
That'll be someday when I'm out of radio and I write my tell-all memoirs. Although I wouldn't mind writing a book before I'm out of radio, but, I'll go into that, go into some details. Yeah, I had one of those moments in radio where it was an aha moment. But it was an aha moment, which in an odd way verified one of my deep state conspiracy theories was proven correct. I was vindicated.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would be vindicated that way, but I was vindicated.
And for all those, since we can't talk about the story, like the way that this all was inspired in the conversation was you called me and you said, "This is why my name is on the marquee." And then I had to fucking listen for 15, 20 minutes. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't know. You're so dramatic here. You're such a thespian is what you are.
Maybe a little bit, but you are too in some ways. I mean, it is.
Well, I learned from Andy Furman, my radio. We didn't even get into the whole Brian Finley thing with Andy. We didn't go down that road.
A little awkward.
That he considers him and me both daddy?
Yeah.
That's a little bit awkward.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I don't really feel good about it when I hear it.
Yeah, it's a little strange. I would agree. It's a little odd.
How would you rate your week of producers since I'm not there this earlier in the week?
Well, I like these guys. They're doing their thing, but everyone's got their own stuff. They got their own issues. And you were the worst, which is good. You're the worst.
It's because you intimidate these kids, and they just. They feel like
I'm not even there. How could I intimidate them? I'm in the machine. I'm in the magic radio
because
box.
When you don't talk to these people, they listen to you on the air and they immediately interpret that as
no. See, that's
in person.
The great thing, and I guess it's just the younger generation.
Yes.
But I told this story before. But like when I would fill in, and I started at the Mighty 690, and occasionally I would produce and I would run the board for different shows and things like that, and I always wanted to make a great impression. I always wanted to listen to the show that I was going to work on as a fill-in guy, just so I kind of knew what it was all about. None of these people listen to the show. Not a single one of them listen to the show. And they have no idea what it is. They have no concept of what it is, which I am just blown away by. And every one of them is the same way. None of them listen. And they come in there and they're like, don't get me started, Giska.
I think it's fun.
That they don't listen, that they have no concept of what they're
doing. I think it's fun that you get the curveballs because it can't, like, there's nothing, it's doing live radio as you do for 3 to 4 hours every night. You're flying without a parachute. You're walking into school naked. Like, you can't. It's not scripted. It's not supposed to be. So when shit just goes wrong or you get taken off the air and have to drive in here, like there's just something unique about that people gravitate towards as opposed to other things that are just so monotone and regular and black and white that happen during the day.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's obviously different at night, but I'll give you this. I'm not going to say who did this, but you screwed up with the phones. We had another phone faux pas.
The buttons don't work on the fucking phone. They don't fucking work.
They work for everyone else but you. Everyone else can figure it out but Gascon. Do you think you might be the problem? Possibly?
I broke several of the buttons when hitting lines when I was in there last week.
Yeah. Well, how about you use a little softness with the buttons? How about that?
Getting some material that's not dated in 1999?
Well, that's when they built the station in 1999, 2000.
We have the same equipment from 1999 that we're still using.
I'm aware of the situation, Gesco.
Yeah, but how about not crucify me for pushing shit that's 20 years old and then saying, you're the guy, you're the problem.
All right. Oh, you're so sensitive. You're such a delicate little flower.
I feel like I need to be defended.
Now, can I tell the story about the other mistake? I'm not going to name this person because I, you know, don't want to do that. But there's something else that happened here, okay, that I got a kick out of. So the other night, I'm doing a show, which we normally do, just doing the regular show and all that stuff. And so it's about 40 minutes in the show. And I asked the fill-in producer, I said, hey, why don't you give me the calls here so I can take a call, you know. Mix a call in here. I'm talking a lot. Let's take a call.
Yeah.
He says, no one's called. And I say, you know, I've worked in radio for 20 years. I've worked in radio at Fox Sports Radio. We're on 400 radio stations. And I've never done a show for 40 minutes without a phone call, ever. I've been on Christmas. I've been on Thanksgiving. I've been on New Year's. I've never done a segment or two segments without a phone call. It's never happened. And then I recall what he probably did. And so I then informed him, are the lines busy? And he said, yes, Ben, they are busy. And he didn't realize that there's a way you can busy out the phone lines when you don't want to take any calls.
Yeah.
And the first like 40 minutes, the lines were completely busy. You couldn't get, he couldn't take a phone call because there were no phone calls because he didn't even realize it. He's like, yeah, no one's called, Ben. I'm like, oh my God.
That's good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
That brought a tear to my eye.
He's like a young Gascon.
Yes. I was so proud when I initially heard that. It was really, it was like a father proud of his son.
I was like, think about that. I've had three people sit in for Coop, and two of them don't know how to use the phone system when that's literally the job description is to screen the phone calls and talk to the people and put them on and all that. Fascinating. I don't go, what are you, Bill Belichick grunting? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. That was great. That was actually really strong. Were people bitching about it or no?
Well, no, because I didn't say it on the air. I said, Well, Gascon, see, here's the thing. You've been around the block. This was whoever did that was kind of new. You should know better. That person shouldn't know better, but you should know better.
Well, we're putting people in that position that should know better, so don't put them in that position.
Wow. Good. Do you have anything else, or can we get the pop quiz?
I sent you a picture. It was a proud moment for, me west of the
405. Look at that. Gascon's walking around west of the 405.
No, but it was a good, because you mentioned with Sass the other day taking his shots, like west of the 405 in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah.
There's balconies and patios, and there was a couple that had their Halloween set up. And they had some pumpkins around, some scarecrows, and they actually had an Astros jersey on, and it just said Cheaters on it as opposed to Astros. It was
good.
It was a great moment, man. It was good.
Yeah.
West of the 405.
And being 2020, looking at the photo, you don't know if it's real or it's fake.
That's true.
We see those stories every Halloween. It is a tradition in Halloween.
Yeah.
Where... It's great. So someone will drop dead in a parking lot, and it's a Halloween. They'll think it's like a Halloween thing.
Yeah,
like people are, it's actually a dead person. Somebody died there. That's
Have you and the wife gone to the Queen Mary for Halloween?
No, I've been to the Queen Mary in the past, obviously back in the day, but I. No, not for Halloween. Hey, no. You go down?
No, I've never done it, but I'm always curious if people like to do certain things on Halloween, like Knott's Berry Farm does their Knott's Scary Farm. Universal Studios had done The Walking Dead for quite a while. I think they did it up until this year, obviously. There's always cool things to do with Halloween. Just sucks, obviously, if we're having it canceled here in California, but
yeah,
it's kind of...
Yeah, I don't think there's any Halloween. I don't think that's allowed.
No.
You'll go to hell if you celebrate the Wiccan holiday.
Yes.
Cannot do it. Yeah. All right. Pop quiz. Here we go, Gascon. Yes. About 15 million people in North America regularly play this sport. It never really gets talked about on sports radio, though.
Soccer.
No, there's more than 15 million people playing soccer in America, Gascon. Come on, man. It's a bad job by you. Horseshoes.
Oh.
Can you believe there are 15 million people, they claim, in North America that play horseshoes? The only time I even mention horseshoes is horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah.
Close only minors and horseshoes and hand grenades.
Well, you got to think they probably do this at a lot of fraternity houses, maybe sorority at times.
I guess. When's the last time you played horseshoes?
Probably a couple years ago in San Diego on the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a beach game or a park game. Yeah. It's like the 4th, 4th of July or Thanksgiving. You could pull out the horseshoes.
Yeah.
All right. Once we do this, 46% of us will never do it again. What is it?
I can't say skydiving or bungee jumping because I think once you do it. Get married.
Get married. Well, that would make sense because most people only get married one time. That is incorrect, though. It is change your voicemail greeting. Now, once you set the voicemail, that's it. Whatever you put as the voicemail, that is going to be your voicemail forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How about that?
That's interesting.
That is true, though. I don't change my voicemail. I don't change my Twitter avatar either. I don't know that.
So. You don't check your voicemail inbox either because it's full and you need to erase some shit.
Well, that's because a certain guy from Chicago calls me up and goes on and on.
You got to be kidding me.
He leaves every voicemail message from him.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's crazy. Hey, bud, I'm hanging out here in Chicago. I got a new client, in Kentucky or something. He goes on and on and on.
It's pretty good.
It was good, though, years ago when he left me a message. Hey, I'm Ben. I'm outside Wrigley Field. I've got the goat head. I'm about to put it on the Harry Carey statue, Then I'd wake up and it would be all over the internet, Cub fan leaves bloody goat head at Wrigley Field,
I heard that the Chicago Blackhawks statue in front of the United Center was destroyed the other day.
Oh, was it? It was destroyed. Is that right?
Yeah. They painted over it. They completely destroyed it.
I did not hear about that.
Yeah. You didn't hear about that during the Puck podcast?
No, I don't listen to the Puck podcast.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Well, did Eddie mention it? Did he monologue on it? Did he riff on it?
I don't know. I didn't listen to it. I just figured you would. So.
Yeah. No, I don't. No. I'm very busy, as you know.
Yes.
I'm sure it's wonderful. I just got a big following there. He's got a lot of people. Yeah. Do you think he's got more people listening to that than people listen to this?
Yes.
Really? There's more people listening to the Puck podcast than our...
Yeah, I think there's more people that like Eddie than they do hate me, so I think...
Oh, you look at that. Like playing victimhood.
No, Gascon. It's not victimhood. It's just...
Victimhood Gascon is back again.
And that reminds me, because we didn't acknowledge this.
Boo-hoo-hoo.
We did not acknowledge this, but we did have some inquiries about it. We do not have control over cross promotions on podcasts.
Yes. Yeah, so there are people that are in management positions that make these decisions, and that's above our pay grade.
Yes.
Right? So that's pretty obvious. So
people that do ask, like, we're not bringing other content from other shows onto this podcast. They are redistributing that to promote other shows, and likewise, they have this content put on other platforms as well. So.
Yes, and I've gotten those messages, and I understand you're frustrated and all that. It's an inconvenience for some. For other people, maybe they'll like the show and they'll start listening to that show. I think that's what management wants.
Yes.
I would assume, but it's really, you're the consumer, so you have to decide what you want to do with that.
Yes.
You're the consumer. So, all right, what else do we have here? Let's see. No matter what time of the year, this is more likely to happen to men than women.
No matter the time of the year.
Yeah, no matter the time of the year. They
get the flu.
Pretty much. It's catch a cold.
Oh, all right.
Catch a cold. Men are more likely to catch a cold than women. Why is that? Because of high estrogen levels, you're less likely to catch a cold? Is that why?
Maybe. Maybe it's related to stress. Immune system gets weaker.
All right, what was the most tweeted about food last year? This is random. This is Pop Quiz. David Gascon, I'm asking you, and also I'm asking you, the listener.
All right.
The most tweeted about food last year.
We can go so many ways with this, but I will go with pizza.
Pizza. All right. Pizza, of course, it's all the truth. Incorrect. The answer is
tacos.
Bok chicken.
Hey.
Chicken. Yeah, people love chicken.
We did a doc review on chicken.
Chicken's not even an animal anymore. It's just like a vegetable. You know, it's like you know what I mean. There's so many big chicken documentary that we did a review on.
Yeah.
All right, people who do this every day, the experts claim, are 20% more likely to have more friends.
Read the newspaper.
Read the newspaper. No. Make their bed. Do you make your bed every day?
No.
Of course not.
But I don't really need to make my bed because I just have the down comforter. I don't have a bunch of sheets.
Are you a rabid sleeper? Do you twist and turn a lot in your sleep?
No. But I'm hot when I sleep, so I only sleep with the down comforter, and that's it. So I just have the bed sheet, the down comforter, and that's it.
Yeah, I always am very hot when I'm sleeping, too. My wife's always cold. That's usually, women are cold, men are hot, right? That's normally how that works. And so I remember when I was doing the Sleep Number commercials, when they were an advertiser back in the day, they had a bed that had an air conditioner in it.
Oh.
And that's the bed I want. I never got that bed. I still use the Sleep Number bed. I love the Sleep Number bed. It's a great bed. But I wanted the one with the air conditioner because I thought that would be really cool. Literally.
Yeah.
Really cool. It would make me sleep a lot better, but I never had that item.
That's so pretty bougie. Do you know how much it cost?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty pricey.
Damn.
Like it was expensive. But you can get that for a bed.
Now, is that similar to what you have with seat warmers in a car where, like, your set of the bed, you can adjust and go hot or cold, and then your wife can do the same?
I don't remember the exact specifics on it. It was like this big thing that it would blow cold air through underneath the mattress. So while you're sleeping, you'd have nice coolness, like a comfortable temperature.
Did you ever sleep or use a waterbed back in the day?
You know, my mom had horrible arthritis, and so she got a waterbed. They had a waterbed because it was, you know, it was supposed to help her, you know, her limbs and all that stuff. But
yeah.
It didn't help her, and the thing was a piece of crap. Because us kids would just jump up and down on it. It was like we were at the McDonald's playpin, you know, jumping up and down. But yeah, you a waterbed guy?
No, my uncle, God rest his soul, but back in the day, he had a waterbed. So when I'd go to my grandma's house, we'd jump on his bed, and the same thing. The thing was just awful to try to lay on. It was super uncomfortable.
Yeah, they've mastered it with this Sleep Number thing for sure. Yeah. All right, what is next here? 28% of people would rather do this than be intimate.
Play video games.
All right. Play video games. No, that is incorrect. Gascon, eat dessert.
What?
Yes. I 28%? Do not want to make whoopee. I would like a nice ice cream sundae.
You got to find a new partner then if that's the case.
a little tough. A little tough there. A good ice cream sandwich, Gascon, with the milk, chocolate, the cookies, and the...
What would take longer for you to do? Have sex or to eat an ice cream sandwich? I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay. I'll take your answer off the air.
Hey, that reminds me. What's his name?
What?
The ice cream sandwiches. Have you gotten any of those yet from what's his name in Anaheim?
What's his name in Anaheim?
Yes,
Anthony in Anaheim.
Anthony in Anaheim. Yes, like he's like the
ice cream guy. What?
Yeah, he was.
Does he put weed in the ice cream sandwiches? Is that what Anthony does?
No, but he had these specific ice cream sandwiches.
Are you talking about the Kulikoo? Is that what you're talking about?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. No. I did not get the Kulikoo. I love the Kulikoo. I used to eat those at Dodger Stadium. I got fat on Kulikoos at Dodger Stadium, but I did not. I've not done that. I did go to the store, though, and I picked up some. They're big chocolate chip cookie on each side, vanilla ice cream in the middle, traditional ice cream sandwich.
Oh.
And I love it. That is my favorite ice cream sandwich. Although the Kulikoo brings back memories.
Yeah.
But you got to eat that quick because the chocolate kind of melts. If you're holding it and the chocolate melts and it gets a little messy.
Yeah. That is similar to my favorite was the drumsticks and the drumsticks.
Oh yeah, we saw the big box of drumsticks. Oh yeah, and the you had to eat that, and they had the little nuts on top that would fall off, and
But they advanced, and I think the best thing was the payoff, because when you got to the bottom of the cone, they also had chocolate. That was a good payoff.
I think they did that so it didn't leak, right? Isn't that why they put the chocolate in there? Because that way, if the ice cream, when it melted, it wouldn't go through the bottom because the chocolate would block it.
Maybe, because but the originals didn't have the chocolate in them.
No, that's an upgrade. That's what I'm saying. It was probably an upgrade because they're like, they realized this was a flaw in production, and they had to improve it. So.
A little recall on the drumsticks.
Yeah, that's true. All right. A new survey asked people what foods they hated as kids but now like as an adult. This came in at number one.
I could speak from experience, I guess, on this. Would it be broccoli or vegetables?
No. Well, it is a vegetable, but it's not broccoli.
Tomatoes?
No.
Corn?
Corn? No, corn's not really a vegetable. You know, it's like
onions.
Onions! No, it's asparagus.
Oh.
Yeah, not for me. Not for me. Although I do eat a few more vegetables. And I like bell peppers, and I'll eat, I do occasionally. I don't like tomatoes. I love onions. I love garlic. I'm all about the garlic, obviously. I like garlic when I was a kid, though, so it's not really any different. All right.
Do you put tomatoes on those I don't know what you call it, but that thing that you make, like, I guess it's
that you make.
Yeah, like you sent me a picture of this thing that looked like a pizza. Do you put any tomatoes on that?
Well, there's tomato sauce. There's the Mahler pizzas. You got the dough, and you combine that together. You lay out the dough, obviously, and then I paint because I'm a culinary artist. I paint the tomato sauce just like at the pizzeria.
Yeah.
At Papa's Pizzeria. And so I paint that all over, and then I have a layer of cheese. Then I mix in the pepperoni, the turkey pepperoni. I mix that in there. Ugh. Then I have a second layer, and then I have on top, I put the bell pepper and the garlic and the onion. And that's the Mahler pizza. Mm. And it's unbelievable. It's to die for, is what it is. It is to die for. It is
looked
an amazing...
like someone's face that was getting melted off when you sent me a picture of it. It just looked appalling to me.
Yeah. Well, you're west of the 405.
Like, but some places, though, they put the tomato sauce on, then the cheese on, and they put tomatoes on top with, like, bell peppers or pepperoni.
That's like Chicago style or something like that. This is traditional, more of a New York style, a Kirkland brand style type of pizza.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. This is a good one. I think you'll appreciate this and also be shocked but at the same time. 18% of women admit they don't do this every day, although most people think they should.
Shower.
No. Change their underwear.
Oh.
About that one.
Now, does that mean because they go commando?
I do not know that part of it, but it just says they wouldn't be able to change their underwear if they don't have underwear on.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Inquiring minds must know.
It's good to know women are just like men, because dudes will wear the same underwear for 3-4 days. Doesn't matter. It's good to know women are not that. You know, it's 18% of women are just like men.
Now, it would be great if they didn't do that because they're superstitious. That'd be awesome.
These are my lucky undies?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 12% of us have stolen this from a neighbor without them ever knowing it. It's the perfect crime.
Mm.
Do, 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 do.
A rake.
Nope. Wi-Fi.
Oh.
You ever stolen Wi-Fi from a neighbor? Jumped on there and...
No.
Is that really stealing?
No.
I don't think of it as
if you're
stealing.
Opening the portal up to people with no password, then it's...
Yeah.
Pretty
you
nice.
Know, I've told the story before, but I haven't told it in a while. When I was in Buffalo, after a Bills game, I had this brilliant idea. We'll just go to a hotel room... We'll go to a hotel, check in after the game. We don't have to book a room because it's like Buffalo. Who the hell stays in Buffalo?
Yeah.
So we went to several hotels. They were all booked because the crowd. So we couldn't get a hotel room. So we spent the night in the rental car across from the Buffalo Niagara Airport at a hotel in the parking lot. And the reason we did that is because they had Wi-Fi that we'd be playing on our phone all night. And I was with my brother and my younger brother, who now lives in Wisconsin. And yeah, we sat in the car until the sun came up. We tried to sleep, didn't really sleep, and then moved on to our next nest edition. But I'd like to thank that. I think it was like a Holiday Inn. I'd like to thank the Holiday Inn for not having a password on their Wi-Fi.
That's good. Strong signal, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because we were right out in front of the lobby.
Yeah,
in the parking lot, and sitting there. All right, 30% of people have never once taken this advice.
Wow. Move out of town.
Move out of town. No. Here is our soup of the day, a recommendation from somebody at the restaurant. Like, my wife will ask sometimes, hey, oh, is so-and-so good? I've always been of the mindset, why would you ask the waiter what's good or not? Because oftentimes they're going to, if I was a waiter at a restaurant and somebody asked me what's good, I would say the most expensive thing on the menu.
Yes.
Is what I would say, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I got a couple more here. I got to put the baby to bed. A survey of adults asked, what was the scariest thing in your childhood when you were growing up? What is the scariest thing?
For me, it was when my dad was pissed off.
Oh, your dad was the anger of your dad? No, they said, this doesn't really affect a lot of kids in California or the West, the basement.
Oh.
We don't have basements in California.
No.
Because of earthquakes.
Yeah.
We have attics, no basements, but the basement. I wish I'd had, basements are fun. I wish we had basements. I wish, that's like added space. Bonus, that can be, most guys have their man cave in the basement. That's your sanctuary. But in the West, no sanctuary.
Yeah.
Does not happen. All right, last one here on the pop quiz, and we'll put the baby to bed. A new survey asked Americans to name a habit that helps wake them up in the morning. Now, drinking coffee was obviously the most common answer. What was number two?
Taking a piss.
Nobody beats the whiz. That is incorrect. Incorrect. The correct answer, brushing your teeth. Mm. Brushing your teeth wakes you up. How about, for me, it was throwing water in my face. That would wake me up. You know, you kind of go, you look at the mirror, you're a little groggy there, and you splash some water on your face.
You never shower first thing in the morning?
No, I shower before I go to bed. Oh. I'm a shower before bed guy. I don't like to go to bed dirty, so I shower before I go to sleep. I figure, how dirty do I get when I'm sleeping?
Do you typically brush your teeth when you wake up and go to bed?
No. I'll do it during right before I go to bed, and I'll also do it. Sometimes if I have a meal that's spicy or something like that, I'll brush my teeth during the day. But usually it's before I go to bed.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's right. And that's it. All right. Listen, thank you all. Download the podcast. Remember, if you missed yesterday's podcast, Andy Furman, Furball, amazing stories from his career as a promoter and great stuff from Andy Furman. And so download that. We got another podcast tomorrow. We'll do the mailbag. Yes?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a great day and we'll catch you then.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.